Hi, I'm Peter Czanik from Hungary. I'm community manager at Belabit, upstream developer of Syslog.ng. I'm doing packaging support and advocacy of Syslog.ng. I will talk about the basics of Syslog.ng now. Right after my talk, Fabian Verny, who invited me here, will talk about how they use Syslog.ng at their tier one site in France. So first of all, what is logging? It's a recording of events on a computer. You can, on a Linux system, you will usually find it under varlog, similar messages to this one, like an SSH login. Syslog.ng is an enhanced logging daemon with a focus on high-performance central log collection. Why central logging? First of all, it's ease of use, one place to check instead of many. Availability, so even if your sender machine is down, you can reach your log messages. And security, even if the sender machine is compromised, you can check how it was hacked at the central location. So what are the main roles of Syslog.ng? It's a data collector, a data processor, filter, and at the end, it either stores locally or forwards the log messages somewhere. The first role is data collection, and I say data instead of syslog, as it can log system logs and application logs or any kind of textual data together, which can provide quite interesting contextual information for either side. It is supported on many platforms, so it can read devlog, Sunstream, the journal, and many platform-specific log sources. As a central log collector, obviously it knows the old and the new syslog protocols over UDP, TCP, and encrypted connections. And can read any kind of textual data from applications through files, sockets, pipes, and so on. The next, and in my view, the most important role is processing. It can classify, normalize, and structure log messages with built-in parsers. It can even rewrite log messages, and here we don't have to think about falsifying messages, but for example, there are many compliance requirements for anonymization. You can reformat log messages using templates if a destination needs a specific format. And you can also enrich log messages using GeoIP or edit additional fields based on message content. The next role is filtering. It has two uses. First of all, you can discard surplus log messages, like not collecting debug level messages, and it's also message routing, so all of your messages reach the right destination. There are many possibilities, as it can be based on message content or message parameters, and many tools like comparison wildcards and so on. And all of these can be compiled using Boolean operators. And finally, we have to store the log messages somewhere. Traditionally, log messages were collected into text files or sent over the network to a central location and still stored into text files. It changed quite a lot recently. We can store it now into SQL databases, or last few years we added big data destinations like Hadoop, MongoDB. The most popular one is Elasticsearch, and we also can send log messages to Kafka. So here comes a tricky question for you. Which Syslog.ng version is the most used? Project started almost 20 years ago. Red Hat Apple has 3.5. The latest stable version is 3.9. What do you think? I say it's tricky. it's 1.6, as over 100 million copies are running on the Amazon Kindle. Back to more serious topics, message format. If you look at a typical Linux machine, you will see that log messages have a date, host name, and text as their message format. The text part is typically an English sentence with some variable parts in it, which is really easy to be read by a human, but as soon as you want to create a report from these log messages, you will have some hard time, especially if you have many applications and many logs. The answer for this problem is structured logging. In this case, even instead of using free text, events are represented as name value pairs. For example, an SSH login can be described as an application, a user, and the source IP, and so on. The good news is that syslog.ng has name value pairs inside right from the beginning. Date, facility, priority, and so and many other things were represented as name value pairs, so these could be used to in templates to reformat messages, to have specific directory structures based on message content, and so on. And parsers inside syslog.ng can turn unstructured and some structured data into name value pairs, so you can use them in templates as well. For structured data, we have a CSV parser, JSON parser, key value parser. For unstructured data, you can use the DB parser or other way known as pattern DB. And if none of these fit your use case, one can write new parsers in Rust or Python as well. ButtonDB can extract information from unstructured messages into name value pairs. And not only that, but it can also add additional fields based on the message text or do classification like log check. The downside of this is that it needs a database in XML to describe your log messages beforehand. Coming back to my favorite SSH example, here you can see that parsed information is, for example, the application name, the username, or the source IP. Based on the message text, you can add that it was a login action and that was actually a failure. And at the end, you can classify it as a violation. Here is an actual pattern for this. You can also use syslog.ng to enrich log messages. I already mentioned how PatternDB can be used for it. With GeoIP, you can add geolocation of the IP addresses to the log message as a name value pair, either the country name or longitude and latitude information. This can be used, for example, to detect anomalies or display locations on a map. And you can also add metadata from CSV files, for example, host role or contact person, which helps you to spend less time on locating this extra information and to create more accurate alerts or dashboards. One of my favorites is the inlist filter. It's white or blacklisting. It compares a single field with a list of values. This can be used, for example, as a poor man's scene system, as if you have a... There are many different IP address lists on the internet for spammers, for malware command and control IP addresses, and so on, and you can create an alert if you find any of these in your log messages. When it comes to configuration, my first advice is don't panic. Syslog.ng configuration is simple and logical, even if it doesn't really look so at the first line, or even the second one. It uses a pipeline model, which has many different building blocks like sources, destinations, filters, and all of these are connected into a pipeline using lock statements. Here I will show a simple configuration. You can see here that it starts with a version number, and after that some global options follow. Of course, most of these can be overridden in later parts of the configuration, but it makes configuration a lot more easy. Next, a few sources are defined for local log messages and for collecting messages over the network. Here we define a file destination for var log messages and also another one for Elasticsearch, so you can send name value pairs and into Elasticsearch. Here a few filters are defined. You can see that a simple one at the top, just discarding debug messages, and next a more complex one with a number of Boolean operators. This is for var log messages. And at the bottom, XML database is loaded for message parsing. And here is the heart of the configuration, the log path. The first one is a simple one, just a source, a filter, and a destination. The next one is a bit more complicated. It has two sources, a filter discarding debug messages. The rest of the messages are parsed with PatternDB, and finally the results are sent off to Elasticsearch. And I used this configuration to parse SSH messages, and in the upper right corner you should see source IP addresses sorted by the number of occurrence in the log messages. A few words about scaling your logging architecture with SysLogNG. Traditionally, most people used a simple client server architecture, which is which can be problematic, especially if you do heavy use of message processing. So what we recommend is using a client relay server architecture. This way, log messages are sent off from the client immediately, even if the center collector is not available. And it's also better for UDP, as you can collect those messages as so close to the source as possible. Here you can see typical site that you have many different sites with a relay and sending log messages to the central location. Another way of scaling a logging architecture is heavy use of log routing. It's based on filtering, making sure that the right logs reach the right places. Message parsing can greatly enhance the accuracy of log routing. For example, coming back to my poor man's SIMS example, if root logs into a machine, you can create an email alert if you parse your log messages. It can also optimize SIEM or log analyzer tools, which are usually licensed based on the amount of log messages. Another common use case is anonymizing messages, as there are many regulations what cannot be logged. For example, PCI DSS for credit card numbers, or in Europe, many regulations related to storing personal information like IP addresses or usernames. Locating sensitive information can be done in multiple ways. Using regular expression works for some data formats like IP addresses or credit cards, but it also works in unknown logs, but pretty slow and resource intensive. If you use PatternDB or the CSV parser, it's really fast. On the other hand, you have to know your messages to be able to use them. You can anonymize simply overwriting sensitive data with a constant text, but if you want to analyze your log messages later on, you better use a hash of the original, so you can it's anonymized, but you can still follow sessions in your logs later on. Here is a nice heat map created with IP tables, Syslog-NG, and Kibana. For this, I used a couple of parsers in Syslog-NG. The first one is the key value parser, which finds the different fields in the IP tables log messages. The next one is for GYIP to find the geolocation of IP addresses. And finally, the result is sent off to Elasticsearch, which is used by Kibana at the end. So what is new in our recent releases? We added this disk-based buffering with 3.8. We have a new correlation parser independent of PatternDB, so we have many different parsers now in Syslog-NG, and data coming from any of these can be correlated with each other. Elasticsearch support was enhanced in many ways. Support for version 5 was added, and also encryption thanks to Fabian. HTTP, we have an HTTP destination and many performance improvements. And coming up next, but used by some people already in production, is the Python parser I already mentioned. So, as a summary, I want to repeat again the benefits of Syslog-NG for large environments. First of all, it's high performance and reliable log collection. You can simplify your logging architecture by using the same application for system and application data. The resulting log messages are easier to use as they can be parsed and presented in a ready-to-use format. Due to filtering, you can also lower the load on the destination side. If I made you interested in Syslog-NG, our central hub of information is syslog-ng.org. You can find links to binaries on the very same site. Our source code is on GitHub together with an issue tracking system. And if you have any questions, we have a mailing list, and IRC or Gitter are also available. Thank you for your attention.
Comments? Questions?
Thank you. It was very informative. I have to admit, I probably have a Syslog-NG 1.6, and that was the last time I looked at it. For reliably sending to a centralized service, are there any options for caching the data locally on disk, other than, or just the relay server?
I mentioned that this buffer was added last summer. So
okay.
You can use it for caching as long as your center server is not available.
So is the recommendation then to run the relay server on every host where you use syslog ng?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Not, let's thank you.
Thank you.